the Shore Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Shalom again, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to this Torah tidbit, taken this time from the Torah portion called Chaye Sarah, or The Life of Sarah. Now, that's probably not the most accurate title for this Torah portion, because it actually describes her death. And we see that as the portion begins in Genesis chapter 23 by saying, Sarah lived, and that term is Chaye Sarah. Sarah lived 127 years. And these were the years of the life of Sarah. And that again is the Hebrew Chaye Sarah. So Sarah died in Kiryat Arba, and that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. So, as we said, this portion begins with her death. And traditionally, Sarah's death occurred shortly after, some commentators say because of, the binding of Isaac on Mount Moriah as recorded for us in Genesis chapter 22. Now, I need to underscore that that is a tradition, but it is an interesting tradition nonetheless. At any rate, Sarah's death apparently motivates Abraham to find a wife for Isaac. And so this portion, although it begins with the death of a matriarch, it includes a new beginning of sorts, because with her death, the story then shifts to the search for a bride for the promised seed, that is, Isaac. And before the portion has concluded, Isaac will be wed to Rebekah. And so it is so many times in Scripture that we see, and we see that in this portion, that even as one story is ending, another is beginning. In other words, God will always raise someone up before He removes another. Now, as we said, Abraham was motivated to find a wife for Isaac, and he did not want that woman to come from among the Canaanites. Not only that, but that it says that he did not send Isaac to find his own wife, but sent his servant Eliezer to find that wife for him. And so, my, how times have changed, because who in this day and time would allow their father to go and choose their wife, sight unseen? Now, cultural customs aside, this action suggests an incredible degree of trust between a son and his father. Also want you to consider that in this case, Abraham sent Eliezer to search not just for a wife and not just for a mother of his grandchildren, but to search for a matriarch, a noble woman, who would be faithful to do her part in the call, that is, the divine call that had been placed upon Abraham and upon his seed. Therefore, being old himself and unable to accomplish the task personally, Abraham called his servant Eliezer from Damascus, a man who, by the way, had served him for 60 years and who oversaw his household. Abraham chose him and sent him among the nations to fetch a wife for Isaac, the promised seed. As I just mentioned, Abraham was insistent that Isaac's wife not be chosen from among the daughters of Canaan. And so he instructed Eliezer these words beginning in Genesis chapter 24, verse 3. I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country, that is, to Haran or Padan Aram. You will go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. Now, Abraham's reason for doing this couldn't be based solely on the fact that the Canaanites were idol worshipers, because if you think about it, he came from a family of idol worshipers as well. And so that's not the only reason he would have made this choice. It could be based on the fact that the Canaanites were, and this is borne out in the Scripture, much more morally degenerate than most nations. Or it might be that Abraham chose to do this because he was being guided by the Holy Spirit and that God was actually directing his decisions. And that is going to become quite evident, I believe, when Eliezer gets to Syria, as we see in this Torah portion. But the primary purpose in making this point is to point out that it's an important component of the covenant that God made with Abraham and consequently with Abraham's seed, that is Israel, you and me included, that we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Scripture has a lot to say on this issue in both the Tanakh and in the New Testament. The purpose of not being married to these strange women is not so much because of their language or their race, but to avoid being led astray by their gods and by their customs. Thus, Abraham insists that Isaac not be led astray by the women of the land. Now later, Isaac will insist upon the same for Jacob. As Eliezer laid out the fleece before the Lord in search of Isaac's wife, it becomes clear that he was not looking for the most beautiful woman or some dramatic miracle necessarily, but as a trusted servant, he prayed to the Lord that he would send her a woman who possessed character, one who possessed nobility, virtue. Remember, charm and beauty aren't always the most important characteristics to possess or to look for, especially when you're considering that you're looking for a matriarch of Israel. Thus, his simple prayer is that the one who will give him and his camels water to drink from the well, he prayed that that would be the one that God had chosen to be Isaac's bride. Now, if you read this, you see very quickly that his prayer is answered. The response is almost immediate, in fact, because before he had even finished praying, Rebekah was already on her way to the well carrying an earthenware vessel upon her shoulder. Now, that point there I find to be interesting, considering that, first of all, she was living in a region where, and this is what I understand anyway, most women would carry these jars on their heads. It's also interesting that, being from a somewhat prominent family, she is carrying the pitcher at all. Hauling water is a strenuous task, and presumably she could have had servants do this for her. So I'm pointing this out because, and this is my opinion, it's obvious that something miraculous is happening. The angel of the Lord that Eliezer had called upon had gone before him, and it is he who prompted her to go to the well and meet this man who will forever change her life. Now, I find this encounter pregnant with importance and a lot of prophetic implications, and so much so that we wouldn't have the time here to spend, to dedicate to it in a way that would do it any justice. However, I do want to make this connection. This entire episode, that is, Eliezer encountering Rebekah at the well, is strongly reminiscent of another encounter at a well between a man on a mission and an unassuming woman. And of course, I'm referring to the conversation that took place between Yeshua and the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. And so let me read for you a few verses from that exchange. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, and it's also called Shechem, by the way, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Yeshua, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour, which would be about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Yeshua said to her, "Give me a drink." And so, just as Eliezer did before him, Yeshua asked the woman at the well for a drink. And as this conversation between the two unfolds, what's recorded for us here in John chapter 4 describes precisely what the Heavenly Father was and is looking for. That is, those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. But I would also suggest to you that these true worshipers, as Yeshua refers to them, could also be identified as the bride. So, like Abraham, the Father in heaven is looking for an appropriate bride for his son. That is, a bride that is of noble character, without spot, without blemish. And so, understanding that, why did Yeshua opt to have this kind of a conversation with a woman who has questionable integrity? Perhaps it has something to do with what he told his disciples when they returned from buying food in town. He said, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Perhaps by that he meant that he knew that this woman was searching for truth, that she was hungry and thirsty for righteousness. After the encounter with Abraham's servant, Rebekah, the other woman at the well, she ran and she told her mother's household all that had transpired. Likewise, the Samaritan woman, after she had finished her conversation with Yeshua, she ran into the village and she told everyone that she had met a man that had revealed to her everything she had ever done and one she believed may be the Messiah. Now, Rebekah eventually married the promised seed Isaac, and she eventually gave birth to Jacob, who later would be known as Israel. And in order for her to do this, that it might come to pass, it was required of her that she leave everything behind, that is country and family. And the Samaritan woman? Well, I feel that she is a picture of everyone, man and woman alike, who has lived a life of knowing about God, but never really knowing God. She represents those who have failed at that most important relationship, that is the one between a person and God. But she's also representative of someone who's failed at all these other relationships. She has had 5 husbands and was living with someone else when she met Yeshua. Yet she is also representative of those who are tired of living that kind of a life. She is one who wishes to know the truth and to embrace righteousness. And even though she would be considered among the nations, so to speak, a mixed breed, that is what the Samaritans were believed to be, nevertheless, the Almighty searches. He searches for those who are searching for Him, including this Samaritan woman. And so the woman at the well is a picture of those who are joined to the promised seed, that is the Messiah, and who are then given the task of producing spiritual offspring, like Rebekah did, that the promise that was made to Abraham, who was to be the father of many nations, he was to be a source of blessing to the nations, we are to do that, that this might come to pass. And so it seems fitting to close this particular tidbit with one of my favorite scriptures taken from Isaiah chapter 12, and it says this, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Or, as it is in Hebrew, Yeshua. And so it's with that I leave you, and thank you for joining us on this Torah Tidbit. Until next time, Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.